Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of God. Good to see you this morning. Thank you for joining us here today, whether in person or online. Delighted to have you with us. And God is so pleased that you're in the house of God. This is the place where you're meant to be, right? If there's any other place on earth, this is the place you're meant to be right this at this moment. So thank you for joining us this morning. Let's celebrate God. Father, we thank you that life is good because you are good. And we're so thankful for the birth, the death, the resurrection of your Son, and how that makes every bit of difference for us in this world and for eternity. We thank you for the sacrifice of the shedding of your blood on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for this incredible thing called salvation. Thank you, Lord, for suffering for us. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. And thank you for the gift of abundant life right here on earth. We can live a good life and a blessed life because of all that you did. And we want to thank and give you praise, glory, and honor today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're into a new series. It's called Ask, Seek, and Knock. And I think you're going to know what it's about, but we're going to just jump into it. But first of all, let's pray. Let's pray and ask God's blessing over the word. Father, I thank you that every time we hear the word, we need to be open to believe it and to receive it and claim it for our own and then ask for the grace and the ability and the energy to put it into practice. And I pray that this word, this message that we hear today wouldn't just be a word that's good information. It would cause it to be a great transformation in the area of seeking you and have a relationship with you. So God bless this word as it's preached. Let everyone who hears this message, Lord, do that. Combine it, add it, put it into practice. In doing that, the Bible says you will be blessed. So bless the word as it's preached and received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, today we're going to talk about this incredible relational ability and gift of prayer. You know, sometimes I think that when it comes to prayer and we read about prayer, we know that Jesus has some very specific things to say about prayer, right? But I think that some of the things we've been raised about prayer and we've been taught about prayer, are not really the same things. They're different from what Jesus has says in his word or teaches about prayer in his word. So I want you to notice as you read the Bible and people in the Bible ask Jesus, Jesus teaches how to pray. Now, when they asked him to teach him how to teach them how to pray, he didn't say, well, you know, just pray, just talk to God. There's no wrong way to prayer. All prayers are the same, and all prayers are acceptable. Did Jesus say that? No, he didn't say that. In fact, he said, I will teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to pray. Now, we have to admit that prayer is a big part of our life, isn't it? As Christians, as believers in Christ, prayer should be a big part of your life. But at the same time, it could be one of the biggest frustrations of your life. Do you agree with that? So in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus is going to tackle this biggest frustration that we have with prayer. And that frustration is this. I pray, and I seek God, and I'm trying to get near to God, and I declare his greatness. I hallow his name, and I surrender my will to him, and I ask him for stuff that I want in my life. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I'm thinking, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Now I know for sure that some of the stuff that I've been praying for is in God's will. And some of the stuff that I'm praying for, I think that God would want to do that, right? But he doesn't do it. Sometimes, let's admit it. Sometimes when we pray, it doesn't happen. Would you agree with that? And it's so frustrating. In fact, I think this is one of the reasons why people quit praying. Or maybe people give up on church or they abandon God. Because they pray these prayers that they They believe that God ought to and that God will answer, but he doesn't answer them, right? And it's so disappointing and it's so frustrating. But here's the thing. There is great news. There is great news. And guys, this is why you got to read your Bibles, right? Jesus addresses that frustration that you and I experience in prayer. And the reason he addresses it, because he knew that we would experience this very thing, that experience, right? A frustration. And so the good news is this. If you've ever had frustration in prayer, God knows about it. God knows about it. It's not the fact that there's not something wrong with you and there's not something wrong with God. Although the enemy would want to tell you that, right? But Jesus says, no, this is a common experience. This is a common occurrence. And I want to show you, I want to tell you what you can do about it. Amen? So in Luke's Gospel chapter 11 verse 1 says, when he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. In other words, they were saying to him, Jesus, you know, we've been watching you. We've been watching you. And like we're young Jewish, you know, we've been growing up in Jewish families and we've been taught all about prayer. We've been taught all about how to speak to God through prayers. We've even memorized their prayers. Like, we know the whole deal. But when we watch you, it's different. And when we hear you pray, it's different. And like sometimes we see you going into that place of prayer, and you're gone for hours. And sometimes you're gone all night. And we're wondering, like, what's he saying? What's he doing out there? What's he saying? Like, can somebody actually talk to God that long? And they're saying, like, you know, we pray and literally we're done. So obviously, Jesus, there's some things that we don't know about prayer. We don't really know how to pray. So, would you please teach us, Jesus? Now notice Jesus doesn't say, oh, you don't need to be taught. You just pray. You just talk to God. It's just simple. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus says, okay, guys, I'm going to teach you how to pray. Just as you heard that John the Baptist taught his closest followers how to pray. So here's the point on your PowerPoint. You can be taught. We need to be taught how to pray, right? So if that's true, you can be taught how to pray, which means if you're not taught how to pray, you might be praying incorrectly. Wouldn't that be a good assumption? Isn't that right? So, now listen to what he says. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, this is verse 2. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, when they said, Jesus teaches how to pray, he gave them that synopsis. What is this synopsis? What's it called? It's called the, next slide. It's called the Lord's Prayer, right? Now, it's a model of prayer. It's a synopsis of prayer. It's like a prayer skeleton, right? It's the basics of it. And we can add our elements of communication with God through this prayer. But it's a synopsis, right? But then, Jesus doesn't stop there. Then he launches into another discussion that addresses this frustration that you and I have with prayer. And this is amazing because Jesus could have said anything about prayer. He could have gone on and on and about stuff about prayer. There are facets of prayer that he could have talked about. But no, he hits this nail right on the head. Right? He focuses. This is the topic he focuses on. Not on what to say or how to say, but on this specific frustration all of us have with prayer. And so, he launches into this parable, this story. And it's called the parable of the persistent friend. Okay? So, and he goes into the story to make this point. Point number one. Persistent prayer moves the heart of God. Verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, Then Jesus said to them, then, that word then is important. Then he said to them, so in other words, while we're on the subject of prayer, let me give you this scenario. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Now, of course, the disciples are thinking, like you might be thinking, like we're talking about prayer here, aren't we, Jesus? But Jesus says, hold on. Just hold on. Just bear with me. And then he says in verse 7, and suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. Don't bother me, which is what you and I would probably say. If your friend came to you at midnight, he's knocking on your door, you would say, don't bother me. I mean, you know what time it is? It's midnight. I'm in bed already. My kids are in bed. My wife's in bed with me. The dog's in bed. You know, I'm not going to get up. And I'm not gonna wake up my kids. I'm not gonna wake up my dog. I'm not gonna wake up the neighborhood. Don't bother me. I just can't get up and give you anything, right? Then Jesus says in verse 8, I tell you, though he will not give up and give him the bread because he is a friend, or he was at least until this point in the story, yet because of the man's what? The man's what? Yeah, persistence. But in this case, it says the man's boldness. Yeah, it is persistence. Right. Persistence. He will get up and give him as much as he needs. Yes, that, in this translation, it's called boldness. But that Greek word is translated persistence. In every other English translation of the Bible, it's translated persistence, which is really a better translation. And what is the boldness in this verse? You know what it means? It means persistence. So even though the guy would not get up and give his friend some bread, because he's a friend, the fact that this friend is going to stand there at that door and he's going to knock and knock and he's going to bother and bother him, finally, out of pure frustration, that guy is going to say, ah, good grief, man, get a life. And he's going to get out of bed and he's going to wake up his wife, and his wife is going to get the bread, and he's going to wake up his dog, and he's going to unlock that door, and he's going to give him the bread, and he says, friend, here's the bread, go feed your friend, don't bother me anymore, right? When you talk about parables, this is a parable of Jesus. Why did Jesus talk about parables? Because parables are powerful stories that Jesus told, because the power of the parables is that when Jesus told those parables, it caused us to put ourselves into the picture, right? We put ourselves into the picture when it comes into parables. So in the parables, every time you hear a parable, you start thinking, okay, somebody in this story, in this parable is me, and somebody in this parable is God, right? So it's, for example, like the great, the parable of the prodigal son, right? The son asks his father for his inheritance, and he just takes off, and he rips off to another place, and he wastes it all, you know, and you're thinking, as you think about the story, yeah, you know, in this story, I'm like the rebellious son. You know, and God is like the Father. And even though I've blown it in life, I'm ready, and when I come back to Him, He's ready to meet me with open arms. Yeah, I like that parable, right? But in this story, the disciples are a little bit more confused. The disciples are thinking, in this parable, well, who do you think us is? Well, since we're talking about prayer and about getting things from God, good things from God, I think us must be the guy who's knocking at the door, right? So then, who in this story is God? Well, then that would make God, whoa, that would make God that cranky old guy who's shouting from within, don't bother me. That would make him that type of person, right? And you're thinking, wow, that's kind of weird, isn't it? That's kind of weird. But like that lady said, no, that's not weird. Your pants are weird. Right? You got to watch TV. Jesus told another parable. This is very similar to this one. It's another parable that actually starts off with these words. Luke 18, verse 1. And Jesus told this parable so that they would know to pray and not quit praying. And then he tells the story about this judge. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice. Grant me justice. Grant. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Another version says, she won't wear me out. So you listen to these two parables and you think, okay, I think I know who I am, right? In that one parable, I'm the widow, right? I'm seeking justice. And in the other parable, I'm the guy who's knocking on the door because I need something. But Jesus, you're not making God look so good here, right? I mean, he's like this unrighteous, un-God-fearing judge. Or now he's like this cranky old guy shouting, don't bother me, go away, because I need bread, I need bread. Yeah, I don't care if you need bread, right? But when you read this, and I say, when you read the Bible, sometimes you just can't gloss over it. You've got to take the time to really think and meditate on what the Word is saying. When you really read this, and when you really think about this story, you know, you realize it's not so weird. It's not as weird as you first thought it might have been when you first heard it, right? So, if you've ever been a kid, who's been a kid, right? You've been a kid, or if you've ever had kids, you've probably experienced this type of scenario. I'll give you a scenario. I'm a granddad. I got two great grandkids. Usually pick them up. Karen and I take turns. I pick them up right after school, and they're in the back seat, and we're driving back to our house, and we're always going by this Tim Hortons, right in the Legacy. Well, often, I remember this has happened a few times. We're driving by, and the kids would shout out in the back seat, Papa, Papa, can we go to Tim's today? Can we go to Tim's? Because we're hungry. We want a donut. You know, and you know what do I say? No, we're not going to Tim's today. We went there like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Besides, sugar's not good for you. We're not going there. Ah, Papa. Papa, we're hungry. Papa, can't we go? We haven't gone for a long time. No, we're not going. Maybe next week. You know, and then there's kind of silence, you know. But listen, I've driven by a block past Tim's. And suddenly, I stop, I turn around, and I say to them, all right, let's go to Tim's. Yay! Yay! Did you ever experience something like that? You know, the question is, what was that in me? Well, no, what's that in you? You know, where did that come from? Right? So question, could that thing that's in me, this love that I have for them, allows them to ask me for stuff? Could it be? Or could it be that thing in me causes me to say yes, even after I've said no, causes me to change my mind? Or could it be that this thing inside of me is actually a reflection of the thumbprint of God as a Father's love in my heart? Could it be that? Listen to what Jesus said at the end of that parable in verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? Another version says, good things to those who ask him. Wow. Persistent prayer, Jesus said, moves the heart of God. Amen? Number two, persistent prayer honors God. Persistent prayer is honoring to God because you're acknowledging your dependence on him. And I believe he likes that. Because God, if you don't do this thing, it's not going to happen. God, if you don't bring that person back, that prodigal back, you know, that child back, my kid back, it's not going to happen. God, if you don't heal that relationship, it's not going to happen. God, if you don't heal my body, it's not going to happen. Right? God, if you don't provide for me, it's not going to happen. God, if you don't move, it's not going to happen. Amen? And God says, I like that. I'm honored by that. And I just might do something about that. Amen? Jesus' parables could not be any clearer. When you pray, when you tell God how great He is, the greatness of God, when you surrender to Him and you tell Him what you need and what you want, and not only that, and when you don't quit praying, when you don't get praying, when you don't quit praying, you have your prayers literally have the potential to move the heart of God. Amen? Listen to how Jesus interprets it. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He says it three different times for emphasis. In other words, just keep coming on strong with your prayers. Amen? Don't give up, because God is moved. He's moved by persistent, consistent prayer. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Not loud enough. Come on. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Verse 10. Jesus said, for everyone, and that would be all of us here, right? For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Wow. Now, let me just step back a bit. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, that we can all point to the exceptions, can't we? We can do that. You know, I asked for something, and I prayed for something, and it didn't happen, right? Can we point to that? Well, at least it didn't happen, not yet anyway. And Jesus says this, okay, I understand that, I know that. My good friends Mary and Martha asked for their brother Lazarus not to die, and he died. He says, I know that. He says, sometimes things don't turn out the way that we expect, right? But listen, it's not a problem with me. It's not a mystery with me. You asked me how to pray, and I'm telling you how to pray. I'm telling you that when you pray, you don't let go until you absolutely have to, because persistent prayer honors God and moves the heart of God. Amen? You know, so many men and women have hung on and they prayed for things that seemed impossible. And it seems like, in a year or some later, all of a sudden something happened because of their heard prayer. I heard of a testimony of a man who prayed for his dad to become a Christian. Prayed over 22 years. His dad was so hard. He had so many negatives. And he said, if you met my father, you'd say, give it up. It ain't going to happen. You know, he was like in the negatives. He was anti-God. But one day, he said his dad called him and said, guess where I went last weekend? He said, where? Church. You're kidding. No. And 6 months later or so, he's a member, he's baptized, and he became a Christian. It's a miracle. Wow. Persistent prayer. I'll give you another example. In his book called An Unstoppable Force, Erwin McManus shares the story of how prayers resulted in what can only be called a miraculous recreation. And the story goes this way. While ministering in South Dallas, McManus' small congregation began to grow, and they looked for another place to build a church. And the leadership spotted an acre of land for sale. Now, this acre of land was very close to the heart of downtown Dallas. So they looked at this land. It was peculiar. They thought, wow, what a great location. So they all began to pray. You know, it was strange the property was still available, but they began to pray. They thought, wow, this is good fortune. Many of those, you know, it's just a small group of people, and it says many of those people were on welfare. It says they began to pray that site would be theirs. Eventually, they were able to purchase the property after receiving financial help from an association of churches. A whole bunch of other churches in their organization said, we'll help you to purchase that land. And so they were able to purchase that land. And as they began the process of obtaining building permits, they discovered that the land had been declared unbuildable. The acre of land in a prime location was nothing more than a worthless landfill. McManus grieved over this waste of precious time and money, and this is what he writes. He says, "We brought an acre of garbage. Several core samples were taken, and from what I understand, they went at least 25 feet deep and found nothing but trash. All I could do was ask our congregation to pray with me and believe that God was with us and that he would even use, and I like this, even use the worst of human mistakes to perform the greatest miracles. After months and months of prayer, a woman from the congregation told McManus that since they had asked God to turn the land into something useful, surely it had been taken care of by God." Don't you like that? We've been praying. We've asked God. God must have done something by now. Feeling God's confirmation of her words, McManus asked for more core samples to be taken. This time, the researchers found soil. McManus writes, "How did this happen? Was it because the core sample was in a different part of the land? Or could it be that God had actually performed a miracle and changed the landfill to good land? What I do know is that the same realtor who sold the property to me came back and offered me three times the amount that he had sold it for. What I do know is that the previous owners could not build on that property, but we could. What I do know is that we were told the property was worthless and unusable. What I cannot tell you is what happened beneath the ground. All I can tell you is what I know, and that is that God took my failure and he performed a miracle." Today, Cornership Church worships on that acre of land in a sanctuary built by our own hands. Wow, it's so clear. When God's people pray, prayer gets results. Amen? And all I'm saying is this. Maybe if we would do more of that, if we would understand this, that God responds to persistent prayer, to this, "I'm not going to give up" type of prayer. I'm going to ask and seek. I'm going to ask and seek. I'm going to ask and seek type of prayers. Amen? Number three, one last point. Persistent prayer will change us. In the process of us asking, seeking, and knocking, and asking God, God literally can do something in us. Amen? Let me give you an example. A husband prays for his wife to come back. And he says, "God, why don't you hear my prayers? Why can't you change her heart? God, why don't you bring her back? God, I'm not giving up in this prayer." And you know what God says? "Okay, well then, can I start on you first? Are you open to me working on you first? Because I'm not going to bring her back until I've first done something in you. Because you can go back and she won't stay because you haven't changed yet." In other words, God says, "First I need to do something in you before I can do something in her." Right? You know, and also I think sometimes we can, you know, as Christians, we get locked into something we want, we think we need, and we can pray and pray and pray, pray, and we can refuse to give up. But in the process of us sort of drilling down deep into God, in that process, we realize, you know, I think I've been praying the wrong prayer. And in that process, God is telling you, "No, that's not what you should be praying about. You should be praying about this one." In the process, I realized that person that I want to marry, let's say I was single, you know, is really not that person. It's that person over here. I realize it now as I'm seeking God. Or that job or that career I'm trying to get into is not working out because God wants me over here. See, that's happened. See, like, I would have never known God's will until I get to this point where I was able and open to hear God speaking to me and saying, "Wrong prayer. This is my will for you." Amen? Amen. What Jesus is saying is simply this. I guarantee, if you pray consistently, that God will do something. And every once in a while, he'll do the very thing you asked for. But he will, usually will not do it on your agenda and your timetable. Amen? You know, I say there are a number of reasons why our prayers are not answered. But the biggest prayer is not a lack of belief. It's a lack of persistence. That's the number one reason I would say that prayer, our prayers are not answered. Right? So here's my question to you. What kind of prayers are you praying? What kind of prayers are we praying? Are our prayers in today and then out tomorrow? Do we have something in our heart, in our minds that we are so consumed with, that we're so concerned with, that we're just not going to not pray about it, or we're just not going to stop knocking on the doors of heaven, right? Do we have one of those? If you don't have one, listen, you're going to miss out on the opportunity to see God do something great in this world, and you're going to miss out on the opportunity to see God doing something great in you. Amen? You know, Jesus could have talked about all kinds of things about prayer, a dozen different things. But he said, let's focus on this one. This one's really important. This one's huge. So when you pray, what does he say? Don't give up. Don't stop asking. You keep asking. And just because heaven and silent means nothing, you keep on praying. Just because you haven't found it yet, you keep on seeking, right? Just because no one's come to the door yet, you keep on knocking. Amen? Because every single time you pray, God is going to do something. Amen? That's his guarantee, because that's what the word says. So you never know. You never know. You keep on praying, God just might show up and do the very thing that you asked for. Amen? If you agree with that, say amen. 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 Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, you are so good. And you really do have the heart of a good, benevolent, kind, compassionate. You are the greatest Father ever. And you delight in giving your children good things. You don't hold anything back intentionally. But I know one thing, that prayer is the foundation of our relationship with you. And it's our communication with you. And if we're not communicating with you, we don't have a relationship with you. But sometimes you hold us back because you just want us to come back and to begin to develop this thing called an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Father. And I pray, Lord, as a congregation, as a people, that we would step into this incredible gift of a relationship with God, and we would once again, Lord, live in this garden of prayer, this place of verdant life, where great things are grown into our life and sown into our life, this thing called prayer. And I just thank you for your goodness, Lord, that that's what you want us to do. I pray that you would draw every single one of us into this personal prayer, place of prayer, and you would grant us great persistence. Lord, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Holy Spirit, you're the one that never gives up. You keep going after us. Keep on drawing us to that place of prayer. And give us the courage to believe for things that seemed impossible, but are possible because we prayed about it. And because through our prayers you released it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.